flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A-U-D-A-C-Y. Type that into your app search, then download Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
I would say one of the things that has really stood out to me in talking to people is the, and I think we've talked about this leading up to it, is the amount of control that Mike has over the entire operation and some of the interactions that, we had with him, that other people have had with him, that more importantly, the people in the building have had with him. Like, Mike is a strong personality, as you know, Ted.
Yep.
And he's constantly like sort of pushing and prodding, like where's the weak spots, and trying to sort of weed out, you know, whether it's, you know, people on the staff, front office people, support people, and certainly he's going to get there with the roster. Like, and I think that's one of the things that I sort of came away with is his overall control level and also the feeling, a strong feeling, a belief, if you will, that the roster is going to look a lot different than some of the guys that were, quote unquote, core pieces, probably not going to be core pieces, maybe as soon as this trading season, this offseason. So I think that's going to be fascinating.
That was Mike Giardi on WEEI Afternoons on Friday. Vrabel certainly making an imprint on the organization. We saw more of that today with Todd Downing, his former offensive coordinator in Tennessee, hired as wide receivers coach. That means Wes Welker will not be the wide receivers coach.
No,
here.
There was some hope for that.
Which some, including Mike Reese, were speculating on
Over
the weekend. So we have our answer there. That's another guy who's been a coordinator who is on staff. There's a lot of experience. Downing in the news for the wrong reasons a couple of years ago. But short of that, not a ton to nitpick on the hire. That last piece that Giardi said there, a lot of guys who have been part of the leadership, the players, guys who were re-signed a year ago, some of them could be on the way out. That's not the first time we've heard that, where the Ramondre Stevenson, Jabril Peppers.
What about Jelani Tavai? You want him back?
Jelani
after last
Tavai,
year?
The guys who signed last year,
yeah,
who were part of the leadership on the field, some, maybe multiple guys like that could be moving off the team. That's an interesting item that Giardi threw in there.
Well, it makes sense because, let's face it, the problem wasn't just the coaching staff.
No.
The coaching staff was not going to be the answer, so they made the right move there, kind of cleaning house. And you can't get rid of all 53 guys, obviously, but you got to get rid of a bunch of the players. That's why I still go back to, and I know he said it half-jokingly, but there was so much truth to it, when they're like, intro press conference to Mike Vrabel, what kind of players do you want? Good players, which sort of suggests that maybe they're not exactly loaded with good players. And as much as, you know, he has this plan in place to, you know, coach him up and get the most out of him at every single position, you can only do so much. Like, Vrabel and Doug Marrone and Josh McDaniels aren't miracle workers, so they got to get some better players. And there might be some guys that, oddly enough, did feel some entitlement on a 4-win team. I mean, you got a guy literally telling the fans to know their role and shut their mouth.
It does make sense, though, and I'm not saying they're right, but it makes sense. They were terrible the year before. The team rushed out and paid them and brought them all back, and they're probably like, oh, yeah, like we're good.
Like, no.
We got this figured out. Wins don't matter. We're being rewarded for how we played the year prior when you won 4 games under Bill. You got your money this offseason. You're back, and you win 4 games again. Yeah, there probably is a problem, not just with the talent, but the leadership on this team as well. So would a name like Myles Garrett, who's requested a trade earlier this hour out of Cleveland, and he wants to win. He made that very clear in his statement.
Yeah.
But would that help change the complexion of the Patriots? A couple of trade comps, Keith.
All right, let's hear it. I don't think you're going to have to give up number 4 overall.
Okay.
But he's a great player.
That was my first wonder. Okay. I'm like, you're getting an impact player, maybe just on the outside of his prime. He's 29. So he was defensive player of the year 2 years ago. That's the first thing I thought of. But ready for this? Adam Schefter.
I'm ready.
who had just had a tremendous comp, I thought, for Luka and AD over the weekend.
Stick to football.
It was, yeah, it was not great.
He said it was like Burrow for Lamar getting traded in season.
Not at all like that.
Which it's not, but this
it's
is
not anything like that.
This is a better comp.
Yep.
A potential trade comp. When 27-year-old Khalil Mack was traded from Oakland to Chicago, the Bears gave up two first-round picks, a third and a sixth for Mack, a second-rounder, and a conditional fifth. So there were more picks going back.
Yeah,
there was
yeah,
two
right.
firsts in the trade.
Yep.
A 29-year-old Myles Garrett coming off a 14-sack season now has requested a trade. Okay, so that's what Schefter wrote. Chad Graff at The Athletic, and I don't know if he's speculating or if maybe he's hearing things from within the league. He put up a poll for what the Patriots could potentially give up. It is not the number four pick. He says, if you were the Patriots, would you trade this year's second, which I believe is 38?
Mm-hmm.
Would you trade 38 and next year's one, meaning a 2026 first rounder after Vrabel's first season, for Myles Garrett? Right now, the early returns, 57% say no.
I'd say yes.
You're on board with that.
I'm a big yes on that. So you're betting on yourself to have a big turnaround, like a Washington Commanders-like turnaround. I'm not saying conference championship, but you know, 4 to 10 wins, somewhere in there. So then next year's one that you give them ends up being in the 20s. So it's still a very valuable pick, but it's not like, oh my God, you just gave up another top five pick or another top 10 pick. So if you walk away from, you know, this year's draft and going into the offseason or going into the preseason with whoever you want at number four, including a trade down if you want to add more picks. But let's say you get a player at number four and you get Myles Garrett and you don't have your number two pick, but you have a couple of number threes. And then next year you're going to have a number two or whatever. Like, I don't know. It's the cost of doing business for a player like that. One of the best defensive players in the league. I would do it.
And you get, again, whether or not he wants to be here, he wants to win, but you get a guy who could lead that side of the football, a guy who's hungry to win, you know, an impact player, plus hopefully an impact player at four. I get it. That feels rich to me as well. Future first and 38.
But the future first better not be number four. That means everything went really, really poorly.
True.
Like, that should be, worst case,
Myles
middle
Garrett,
of the pack, right?
Myles Garrett was on the Browns last year, and they have the second pick.
Yeah, they also had Deshaun Watson.
No, that's
and,
fair.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't have as much as you have, in theory, with Drake May. One other update on the coaching staff.
Yes.
You see this from Giardi actually started this over the weekend. Reese had a note on it as well. Senior offensive assistant Ben McAdoo is expected to return to the Patriots. You said this earlier, Keith. He's one of five former head coaches on staff. So he's going to be back playing Danger Zone in the meetings and whatever else he's
memes.
Doing. Memes. That's
he
what
makes
it was.
Memes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or he does Danger Zone too, but I think he's a meme guy.
Top Gun memes.
I don't think he's going to be doing that anymore.
Blast Danger Zone.
Who's doing the Friday Funnies?
Reese says one possibility discussed is McAdoo's offensive background being tapped to help the defense.
What?
Highlighting areas he would attack as a play caller to help fortify that unit.
That's worked. When they've taken like a defensive coordinator and make him an offensive coordinator, there's great dividends on that.
Why
is Ben McAdoo still here?
I don't know.
They must like him, I guess.
We need this guy not only here, period, but we need this guy on defense.
Everybody, right? Didn't they get rid of everybody? They either fired everybody or they told him to, you know, you don't need to come in anymore, or some probably left on their own, right?
Yeah.
You know, joining Bill in North Carolina or whatever it might be, but that's a weird one because his role was sort of like undefined in a way.
Yeah, I don't.
And then we found out about the meme thing.
I don't think he was doing much. He was spending his time working on memes, which was a report by Mark Daniels last week. Giardi also said that the 47-year-old will work on defense.
Okay.
So I don't know why the Patriots as an organization feel like they need to go back to that well. Maybe they're already paying him and they got to figure out a role for him and they're just kind of trying to keep him out of the way. But that seems like an odd fit, along with another Vrabel guy here on staff in Todd Downing, not Wes Welker back with the wide receivers, which I think a lot of Patriots fans wanted. I don't pretend to know that Welker would be great with this receiving group by any means.
Yeah.
One other thing I liked at the Pro Bowl, and I didn't watch a lot of the Pro Bowl, but one thing I liked, did you see any of Drake May? Not on the field where he threw two pick sixes.
I saw him throw a pick six.
He threw a touchdown to Jamar Chase. He threw a touchdown to BTJ, Brian Thomas Jr.
Okay.
He also threw two pick sixes,
well,
including one to the
four touchdowns.
The defensive MVP of the game, four touchdowns.
Yeah.
He was making plays left and right, James Winston style.
Uh-huh.
He was, you know, kind of recruiting at the Pro Bowl. I did see it. He was mic'd up interviewing various players. We don't need to play it, Nick, but, you know, maybe he got on Myles Garrett's radar. Like, I like that it seemed like he wasn't just there, but he was trying to interact and get his personality to come across. And it doesn't mean the Patriots are going to land one of these guys he was horsing around with at the Pro Bowl.
Because Mac Jones was doing the gritty with all these guys.
Correct.
3 years ago.
But at least you saw him there seemingly socializing with some of these other players. And it wasn't just the Patriots putting that out.
No, I agree.
You saw it from the league, which I think is somewhat promising.
It made it somewhat, I guess, worthwhile, right? As much as that activity can be. Because, you know, when we first talked about the news that he was going there, I was like, man, I don't really think it's good or bad. Like, I just think it's very, like, a thing he is going to do, and then that'll be your weekend plans, and then it is done, and may we never speak of it again. The question I didn't ask you, if you were in his shoes,
so
he played 12 games, and he himself won one game.
Correct.
And you get called up.
Credited for 3 wins, but 1 real win.
We all saw it.
Yeah.
1 real win.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you have turned it down?
No.
I don't think so either. I don't blame him for going, but like I would have considered it, honestly.
I
would have considered it.
C.J. Stroud said no.
Right.
So I don't blame him for going
at all. But,
like,
you barely played. Like, you did not have a Pro Bowl season. And they're like, hey, do you want to do the Pro Bowl? And you're like, what? I mean, I guess would have, but I wonder if it at least crossed his mind. Like, should I really be
It is
going?
Orlando now and not Hawaii. Hawaii's like
Hawaii,
a must.
I'll see you there.
Hawaii's a must go.
Send me my ticket. I will be there.
You been?
Hawaii? No.
Me neither.
But if I made the Pro Bowl, even if I was the 15th replacement,
yeah,
I would
go.
Yeah,
so Hawaii I would go. Orlando, maybe you think twice about.
Yeah.
But... no, I don't blame him at all for going. I just the only way I said it last week is I would just feel a lot better if he earned his way there.
Yeah, no, it's that.
That's me. I wasn't telling him not
but
to go.
But if he's chopping it up with a bunch of guys that, you know, might eventually change teams and they have a good, like, rapport with Drake May, right?
Do we know? Did Myles Garrett actually follow through and go?
Maybe I don't know.
Maybe he put a little recruiting pitch out to Myles Garrett.
Maybe he did.
Maybe that was one of the guys.
Real quick, you mentioned the Adam Schefter comp to the Luka Anthony Davis trade.
Yes.
He like tried to make one. You're like, no, that's not really it. So obviously,
Burrow for Lamar is
no,
he
that's
came
not
up
what
with.
It is at all. I saw a million people trying to do the same thing.
Uh-huh.
The best one I saw was because some woman was like, "Can you please explain this to me? Like, I have no idea about basketball or whatever." And she's like, it's like if Destiny's Child traded Beyonce to TLC for Chili.
Somebody sent me that one, too.
That's a good one.
It's like...
It is like that.
Chili is now in Destiny's Child.
For Beyonce.
And Beyonce's in TLC.
Chili's good, but you had Beyonce.
Look, Chili's no slouch.
No.
She ain't Beyonce.
She don't want no scrub. But yeah, and then you end up getting Beyonce out of the deal. Like, that's a crazy trade.
That's a
wild trade if that happens.
That is a crazy trade at the end of the day. Good for Beyonce, by the way. Another Grammy. We were all like, boy, when's she gonna win Album of the Year? She's so deprived.
It's controversial.
When it comes to winning these things.
A lot of the Caitlin Clark fans are not happy about this.
No, I imagine
the internet was not thrilled.
Yeah,
that did not
it was a country award.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
no, that's a lot of honkies.
That's
in
why.
Here.
Yeah,
people
I don't
were
think,
up in arms.
I don't think there was a lot of approval there. That's true. 617-779-7937. Speaking of a lack of approval. I know the Bruins do not approve of one Rich Keefe.
No, they don't.
Big win for the Bees over the weekend. I think David Pastrnak told us a little something about why the Bruins have been struggling. We'll get to it with your phone calls next.
Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
In your face, Keefe.
That's my guy. As you know, I famously reported he would never score another goal again. So let me just... I shouldn't have to do this, but not everybody's intelligent.
Uh-huh.
So when I had my scoop about the Bruins, it was, you know, Pastrnak, you know, kind of the reason why they didn't have a great locker room, and Marchand maybe called him out, and Pastrnak didn't want to be on a line with them. So now every time Pastrnak scores and people tweet me, first of all, great. I'm glad you're thinking about me, thinking about the show.
Not everybody at you, right?
No, they don't. But indirectly, they mention me.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
The producer of Spittin' Chicklets just...
he's upset.
Hashtag with your name, but no at Keefe21.
So
he said hashtag thank you, Rich Keefe.
All right, hashtag you're welcome. I would say I never once said he sucks at hockey and he'll never score another goal. But if that's how people took it, then so be it.
I might need to go back to the original scoop.
Did I say he sucks at hockey?
Yeah, let me double check. I'd have to double check. That might have been me.
No, this is the equivalent. And I even mentioned this at the time. I wasn't trying to compare him to this degree, but it's the same thing. So when Kyrie Irving was on the Celtics and he had a good game, if there were reports that he was bad in the locker room and he like hit a game winner, you'd be like, oh, guess not.
Totally.
Or these guys, unbelievable players still. Like James Harden. Go back and look at some of his days in Houston when he's demanding trades, getting coaches fired, but he averaged a triple-double, so he obviously wasn't a problem. Like, Pastrnak's a great, great player. Now, it also hasn't netted a lot of wins, people were very quiet after the Buffalo loss. And now they're coming out of the woodwork. They beat the Rangers, and they're still out of the playoffs.
Yeah, and the Rangers, by the way, have made a couple of trades, and
yeah,
they're playing better.
Yeah.
They're still out of the playoffs, and they're one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, right.
Not talent-wise, but that's what they've been.
Yep.
I think a lot of people paid attention to Pastrnak on the ice, and then this is what the beat writers usually do. They watch the team, cheer the team on, and then they don't really listen to the post-game audio.
Uh-huh.
So I listened to it. I thought this was a noteworthy comment from David Pastrnak that maybe tells you, Keith,
mm-hmm.
how onto something you were earlier this year. This is Pastrnak after the hat trick and the win over the Rangers.
Yeah, I definitely set my standards high, you know, and set my standards high and never satisfied on the other end, and, you know, try to get better. You know, I've been saying this for years, so every single game and the sky's the limit when I'm on my game and I'm focused. So
the sky's the limit when I'm on my game, .. and I'm focused.
Okay. So were you focused all year?
So have you not been focused? Like, how else am I supposed to take that comment? I get criticized or judged for reading too much into things.
Well, no, that's the job.
When you sit there and you say, when I'm focused and I'm on my game, the sky's the limit.
Like, okay.
Well, you're playing like crap earlier this year. So were you not focused? And
guess not.
Is that an acknowledgement that things weren't in a good place earlier this year?
No, because I saw a bunch of pictures of him and Marchand together, and they put that on Instagram. So I know that everything was fine and nothing was ever the contrary. So... yeah, there's been a noticeable kind of spark in his game. You know, he was kind of, I mean, he was still having overall a decent season, but compared to what we expect from him and, you know, what we've seen, 50-plus goals in a year, it was way off of that pace. In fact, everybody on the team was off of their pace from a year ago or even sort of like their average pace. And now he's obviously kicked it up a notch in the last month, I guess, or whatever it is. It's probably been exactly a month, right? He was star of the week, star of the month, all this stuff. He's been outstanding. But yeah, there was clearly something different about this month than the previous three.
Well, and you would love a follow-up there, but of course there wasn't one.
No.
But it's like okay, when I'm focused, the sky's the limit, according to David Pastrnak.
Yep.
Which makes me wonder if that's an acknowledgement he wasn't focused earlier on this year.
Yep.
So draw your own conclusions there. Bruins win again this weekend. I will see if they can turn things around. With the trade deadline looming in the NHL, we'll get back to the NBA's trade deadline. Big, big moves over the weekend. What does it mean for the Celtics? What does it mean for the league? Plus, Derek is in New Bedford on a potential trade in the NFL. Myles Garrett has requested a trade out of Cleveland. Go ahead, Derek.
How's it going, guys?
It's going great.
I'm an angry and good. I'm an angry and depressed Bills fan, right? But you guys are humoring me. Myles Garrett is not coming to New England. Especially Joe Milton. You think I'm going to trade Joe Milton?
Well, that was a joke. That was a joke.
It was a second and Joe Milton is what it was. Yes,
okay,
yes, yes.
It was a joke.
Yeah.
So you don't have Tom Brady, Richard Seymour. You don't have all those great Hall of Famers on your squad anymore that actually free agents want to come to New England and play. That's not going to happen.
Derek, he's not a free agent.
Derek, it's a trade.
He's not a free agent.
18-year draft. Can I finish?
No. Well, I don't know. You got to get your facts
straight. Yeah, you're saying he's a free agent. You're wrong. So we're just correcting your incorrect facts.
Okay. He's not a free agent. We're talking about trading, like you said.
Yeah.
Right. So you're still not training for him. So you guys just got to get used to... He wants to go to a winner. If he wants to go somewhere, he's going to go to Buffalo. And he doesn't.
Well, the all-time winners, well, Buffalo. Nobody's more synonymous with winning than Buffalo. That's a good point.
You guys need
I want to go somewhere where they win every single year. Oh, you want to go to Buffalo then, sir?
Okay, here's
you guys do
get in line for Buffalo.
Can I finish?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's been kind of mixed at this point.
I don't really think so. Look. He might want to go play for...
The only place that loses more than Cleveland is Buffalo.
Okay, but if I could pick Buffalo or the Patriots, I also would pick Buffalo
these days.
No kidding.
They're obviously better.
It's an interesting guy to present that point.
Yeah.
I said this initially, Keith. I'm like, well, he wants to win. True. It's a trade. And so you can force their hand.
You talk him into it.
But now you got to overpay. So we were talking about the Khalil Mack comp that Schefter brought up. Or we're talking about 38 this year and a future first, which is what Chad Graff brought up. Or you could talk about the number four pick. If you're offering the number four pick to Cleveland, Myles Garrett isn't going to have much of a say. He can hold out once
he gets
here.
Well, then you got to deal with all that, right?
But, I mean, and he can threaten to do that if he actually wants to do that. He's not going to get his money if he holds out. So, I mean, you can force their hand. He's not a free agent, Derek. So, if you want to overpay and get stupid in some ways, mm-hmm. if you think the number four pick is stupid, you can force his hand in the NFL, unlike some of these other leagues.
Yeah, and if you know, Cleveland has a deal from Buffalo, and it's, you know, their second round pick versus the second round pick from the Patriots. Which one are they going to take? You know, yeah, you got to convince him. But that's where it comes in, where you sell him on being the guy and Mike Vrabel being a new sheriff in town and Drake maybe in the future and all that. Obviously, Buffalo's a better team right now, but teams go from bad to great every year in the NFL.
This is a good text, 617-779-7937. This Derek sucks. I'm glad all the Derricks were bounced from the playoffs.
Yeah, well, that's a bad Derek. Got a bad Derek in there.
Bad Derek, good point. We'll get back to your feedback. We'll get back to Luka for AD. Again, what does it mean for the Celtics? What does it mean for the league? Who won the trade? We'll get back to all that next.